Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
Now, we look forward to the government reopening this week so Congress can get back to a regular legislative session.
The Republican-led House of Representatives expected to vote today on a funding bill to end the longest government shutdown in U.S. history. We'll go to Washington to speak with California Congressmember Ro Khanna and look at how the shutdown has left millions going hungry.
Trump, why are you starving the kids? I'm hungry, and we have to get boxes from the food bank.
We'll speak to public health and nutrition expert Mariana Chilton, author of The Painful Truth of Hunger in America. Then as the House moves closer to forcing the Department of Justice release of the Jeffrey Epstein files, we'll look at Epstein's secret role in brokering intelligence deals for Israel. We'll speak with Murtaza Hussein of Dropsite News. Finally, put your soul on your hand and walk, a new documentary featuring Palestinian photojournalist Fatima Hassouna in Gaza.
Where are you now?
This is Gaza.
This is my neighborhood. No one lives here, or there, or there. There's no one.
A day after the film was selected for the Cannes Film Festival, Fatima was killed with her family in an Israeli airstrike. We'll speak to the film's director, the acclaimed Iranian filmmaker Sepideh Farsi. The film is based on video calls Sepideh had with Fatima. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israeli forces killed three people in Gaza over the past 24 hours, despite the U.S. brokered ceasefire. The United Nations accused Israel of denying essential aid from entering Gaza, including 1.6 million syringes to vaccinate children and nearly a million bottles of baby formula. UNICEF said Israel's actions are preventing efforts to immunize more than 40,000 children under the age of three who missed routine vaccines against polio, measles, and pneumonia. Meanwhile, Palestinians across the Gaza Strip are forced to use flashlights and private generators due to lack of electricity. Israeli attacks have destroyed 80% of Gaza's electricity distribution networks. This is Hanan Al-Juju, a displaced Palestinian mother of three in Nuseirat.
It's been 2 years without electricity. We have not seen it. In Rafah, during the first displacement, we tried to light a candle, but we stopped for the sake of the children, fearing it could burn the tent. We tried a simple LED light, but it broke. We do not have the money to fix it. We tried to get a battery, but it's expensive and unavailable.
In the occupied West Bank, dozens of masked Israeli settlers attacked the Palestinian villages of Beit Lid and Deir Shafon on Tuesday, setting fire to vehicles and other property, leaving four Palestinians wounded. This comes as a 13-year-old Palestinian boy died yesterday, a month after Israeli forces attacked him. Isam Jihad Labid Nasser was harvesting olives with his family in Beita when Israeli soldiers fired several tear gas canisters towards him, causing him to choke severely and collapse. That's according to evidence collected by Defense for Children International Palestine. Nasser was transferred to the hospital and remained in critical condition until he died. This year, Israeli forces and settlers have killed 47 Palestinian children in the occupied West Bank. France is committing to help the Palestinian Authority draft a constitution for a future Palestinian state. French President Emmanuel Macron announced a joint constitutional committee after meeting with Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas in Paris yesterday. France also pledged $100 million for humanitarian aid to Gaza this year.
Ce comité
sera chargé de travailler sur tous les aspects.
This committee will be responsible for working on all legal aspects, constitutional, institutional, and organizational. It will contribute to the work of developing a new constitution, a draft which President Abbas has presented to me, and will aim to finalize all the conditions for such a state of Palestine.
The United Kingdom has suspended the sharing of some intelligence with the United States on alleged drug trafficking boats in the Caribbean over concerns the data is being used by the Trump administration to carry out deadly military strikes that have been widely condemned as illegal. That's according to CNN, which reported the UK's intelligence sharing with the U.S. was paused after Trump's Pentagon began its escalating attacks in September, in which at least 76 people have been killed. The UK controls several territories in the Caribbean where it bases intelligence centers that have helped the U.S. locate vessels traveling from Latin America. This comes as the USS Gerald R. Ford aircraft carrier has entered waters near Latin America. The Venezuelan government, in response, has deployed its entire military arsenal, with the Venezuelan defense minister, Vladimir Patrino Lopez, saying Venezuela's land, air, naval, and reserve forces will be carrying out exercises. He spoke from Caracas Tuesday.
Así que bueno, hay un rechazo unánime mundial.
There is a unanimous global rejection against imperialist aggression and against the United States' intention to remain as the world's hegemon, as the world's police, and we here in Venezuela remain firm with the Bolivarian ideals of independence, freedom, and full sovereignty for our people.
Meanwhile, protests have continued in Puerto Rico against the Trump administration's military trainings on the beaches of Arroyo, a town in the southeast of the island. In recent weeks, residents have described witnessing military drills and amphibious landings carried out by the Navy and Marines as part of the U.S.'s ongoing strikes on boats in the Caribbean, claiming without evidence the vessels are carrying drugs. This is a resident of Arroyo, Enrique Rivera Zambrano.
We are against imperialism. We are against any type of military intervention in the country of Venezuela. And above all, we are against the vile and terrible assassinations of our fishermen brothers that have happened with the pretext that they are boats for drug traffickers. We condemn those killings and terrible actions. We are in favor of peace.
Tuesday's action was also to honor the life of the Puerto Rican revolutionary leader, Angel Rodriguez Cristobal, who was found dead in a Florida prison in 1979 after he was detained for protesting the U.S. Navy's occupation of the island of Vieques. The longest U.S. federal government shutdown in history has entered its 43rd day. House members are returning to Washington, D.C. after Speaker Mike Johnson recessed the House for almost 2 months. Johnson is set to swear in Democratic Representative-elect Adelita Grijalva of Arizona later today, 50 days after she won her seat in Congress. She has said she intends to be the final signature to the discharge petition to force a vote on the Justice Department's full release of the Epstein files. We'll have more on this story after headlines with Congressmember Ro Khanna. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court extended its temporary pause on $4 billion in payments for food benefits under SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. The decision means the Trump administration doesn't have to abide by a lower court order to fully fund the SNAP program. Nearly 42 million people rely on SNAP for food assistance. Jack Schlossberg, the grandson of former President John F. Kennedy, announced he's running for the congressional seat held by the retiring Congressmember Gerald Nadler of New York City. Back in September, Congressmember Nadler announced he will not seek re-election in New York's 12th congressional district after more than three decades in office. A coalition of progressive Jewish groups are condemning the Anti-Defamation League over what the groups say are Islamophobic and racist attacks against New York City Mayor-elect Zohran Mamdani. The ADL has created a so-called Mamdani Monitor to track policies proposed by Mamdani that the ADL deems anti-Semitic. Mamdani is New York's first Muslim mayor and has been an outspoken critic of Israel over its occupation of Palestine and war on Gaza. The Jewish groups include If Not Now and Bend the Ark, which said in a statement, quote, "We reject false accusations of anti-Semitism against Black, Brown, and Muslim progressive champions who are fighting for a country where all of us can thrive," they said. Marion County in Kansas has agreed to pay $3 million and apologize after local police raided the county's weekly newspaper, the Marion County Record, and the home of the paper's publisher back in 2023. The raids followed a dispute between the newspaper and a local resident owner, a restaurant owner, who accused the paper of illegally obtaining information about a drunk driving incident, and after the paper had been actively investigating Marion County's police chief over sexual misconduct charges. County officials have pledged to pay $1.2 million to Eric Meyer, the editor of the Marion County Record, and the estate of his mother, Joan Meyer, who died of a heart attack one day after the raids. Marion County also agreed to pay the company that publishes the Marion County Record, two reporters at the paper, and Ruth Herbel, the city's former vice mayor, whose home was also raided by Marion County Police. The Washington Post reports the Trump administration is planning to allow oil and gas drilling off the California coast for the first time in decades. This would include six offshore lease sales between 2027 and 2030 along the California coast and expansion of drilling on the eastern Gulf of Mexico. California Governor Gavin Newsom denounced Trump's plan and called it, quote, dead on arrival. Governor Newsom spoke from Belém, Brazil, where he's attending the UN climate summit.
What's fascinating to me, you may have seen this, he wants to open offshore oil drilling, and he intentionally aligned that to opening of COP. He's weakness, by the way, masquerading as strength. That's all that was. But the answer to your question, forgive the long winters, it's dead on arrival. Dead on arrival.
And in more news from the UN Climate Summit in Belém, Brazil, dozens of indigenous leaders, many carrying signs that read, "Our land is not for sale," broke through security to enter the venue where thousands of delegates from over 190 countries are attending climate talks. Indigenous leaders are demanding stronger climate action and protections for the Amazon, other sacred rainforests, and indigenous territories from fossil fuels. This is a leader of the Tupinambá people.
They are the government. This protest is a way of defending the space where it's being held at this moment. But for us, it's a moment of revolt, of indignation. It's a moment when we indigenous people feel the defeat of our territory firsthand. We don't eat money. We want our territory free. But the business of oil exploration, mineral exploration, and logging continues.
Democracy Now! Will be broadcasting from COP30 in Belém, Brazil, all of next week. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The federal government shutdown has entered its 43rd day, the longest in U.S. history. The House of Representatives returning to session today after a 54-day recess to vote on a short-term funding bill to end the shutdown. The Senate approved the funding measure Monday after seven Democrats and an independent senator backed the Republican bill, even though the bill did not include an extension of the Affordable Care Act subsidies, which had been a key demand for Democratic lawmakers. Some Democrats in the House, including our next guest, Congressmember Ro Khanna of California, are now calling for Senator Chuck Schumer to resign his position as minority leader. Ahead of today's funding bill vote, House Speaker Mike Johnson scheduled to finally swear in Democratic Representative-elect Adelaida Grijalva, who won a special election, but Johnson refused to swear her in for 7 weeks. Grijalva has said she intends to be the final signature needed on a discharge petition to force a vote on the full release of the Epstein files by the Department of Justice. Democratic Congressmember Ro Khanna of California joins us now from Capitol Hill. Let's start with the shutdown ending and your call for Senator Schumer to step down as Senate Minority Leader. Can you explain what exactly happened and what you want to see happen today, Congressmember Khanna?
Well, he failed to meet the moral test of this moment. There are 20 million people in this country who are about to see huge premium hikes in their health care. Premium hikes going from $44 a month to $2,600 a month. And we got no concession, no extension of the health care tax credits. That's what we fought on. We should have continued to fight for health care. What this does show is the entire health care system is broken. We need Medicare for all. We need to actually get national health insurance in America. But at the very least, we need to protect the Affordable Care Act subsidies so people aren't losing their health insurance.
I want to go to Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer speaking on the Senate floor Sunday.
We asked President Trump to step in and meet with us to deliver lower health care for Americans, and instead, Donald Trump has taken the American people hostage, from cutting off food, aid to hungry families and vets and seniors and kids, to manufacturing flight cancellations, to cutting off home heating aid, while he builds a billion-dollar ballroom with gold-plated toilets. Therefore, I must vote no. This health care crisis is so severe, so urgent, so devastating for families back home that I cannot in good faith support this CR that fails to address the health care crisis.
But the key here is Congressmember Ro Khanna. Although he voted against, he's also the leader of the Democrats. And we now know that since the beginning of the shutdown, they have been meeting, led by New Hampshire Senator Jeanne Shaheen, with the Republicans to work out this deal. The question is, what did Schumer do? While he may not have voted with the defecting group, did he tell them they can't?
Well, that's the exact problem. He was consulted every day. Those eight senators were negotiating. That's not from me. That's from the senators themselves. His number two, Dick Durbin, voted for the deal. Coincidentally, all the eight senators are not up for re-election in 2026. So he clearly did not stop them from making this deal, and he very well could have. And look, there are people who were being hurt. He's absolutely right that this president was showing enormous cruelty, taking away SNAP benefits. But the answer to that is not to capitulate, because then he will continue to use that kind of cruelty. The answer to that would have been moral clarity, that we continue to fight in the courts and everywhere for the SNAP benefits, and we continue to make the case that we need health care for the American people. The president was panicking. I mean, he realized that he had lost the election over this. He was talking about ending the filibuster. We caved too soon.
So, John Thune, the Senate Majority Leader, has agreed that there will be a separate vote on extending the ACA subsidies. Of course, the Senate could vote that down. The House Speaker has not even agreed to that. So what do you know about what Johnson is going to do? We're talking about, in just a few weeks, subsidies for health for millions of people will end, and people will be paying, what, two, three, perhaps four times what they paid in the past, and ultimately might not be able to have health insurance.
Amy, you're right, and Mike Johnson is not going to bring any extension of the Affordable Care Act tax credit. Anyone following Congress knows that. The senators know that. But just to put a human face on this, someone came to me at the airport. He said his father has cancer in Arizona. His father's premium is going up from $44 a month to $2,600 a month. The deductibles are going up from $800 to $6,000. This is going to be, unfortunately, a death sentence for many Americans. It's going to rip away health care from millions of Americans. It's going to expose how bankrupt and morally hollow our private health insurance system is. We need to, of course, get the relief to people like the taxi driver in Arizona by extending the Affordable Care Act tax rates. But this needs to start a conversation in this country for national health insurance. Bernie Sanders was right. This party needs to fight again for Medicare for all. That has to be the solution in this mess.
Have Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer lost the confidence of the Democratic caucus?
Well, Chuck Schumer certainly has. Hakeem Jeffries is unifying us and saying we are going to fight the Affordable Care Act for Affordable Care Act tax credits. We are not going to compromise. So he wants to take the fight to Trump and to Johnson.
Will Republicans be joining you today? People like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who talked about her her son losing or having his benefits increased to a level that is unacceptable?
I am in conversation with her and others. Obviously, I've been working closely with her on the full release of the Epstein files. But my hope is that there will be Republicans who see how broken this private health insurance system is and how on a human level, devastating it's going to be if we don't extend the tax credits. Are they right that we are subsidizing private insurance companies who are making record profits? Yes, but what is the alternative right now? The alternative is for 20 million Americans to lose their health care. So what we need to do is provide these tax credits, but then reform the system. We need to make sure we have national health insurance like every other Western industrial country in the world. And Democrats need to be screaming that from the rooftops right now while people see how utterly morally bankrupt this system is.
Let's go to that issue of the Epstein files. Ahead of today's funding bill vote, House Speaker Mike Johnson is scheduled to finally swear in Democratic Representative-elect Adelita Grijalva, who won a special election. But Johnson refused to swear her in for almost 2 months. Grijalva has said she intends to be the final signature needed on a discharge petition to force a vote on the full release by the DOJ of the Jeffrey Epstein files. Congressmember Khanna, you and Republican Thomas Massie of Kentucky have led the bipartisan effort in the House to force the release of these files. Can you talk about what the swearing in of Adelita Grijalva means? And do you think that Johnson shut down the House over the Epstein files so that he didn't have to seat Adelita Grijalva?
I do. Otherwise, why else would he be delaying the Adelita Grijalva swearing in? If the shutdown wasn't about the Epstein files, he should have sworn in Adelita Grijalva. So it's obvious that it had something to do with it. But look, this has been the last 5 months of Thomas Massie in my life. We have been fighting for justice for these survivors. We've been fighting for a politics that is about forgotten Americans as opposed to this corrupt Epstein class. And we're a few hours away from Adelita Grijalva being sworn in. Now, I'm on pins and needles because the White House is putting tremendous pressure on those four Republicans who've signed the petition, trying to get them off. But as soon as Adelita Grijalva gets sworn in today, she will be the 218th signatory. Once she signs, it's locked. Then you cannot remove your name. And at that point, we will get a vote by early December on the full release of the Epstein files. That will be a historic vote. And I'm hopeful that we may get 40, 50 Republicans voting with the Democrats. The first time something like that has happened since Donald Trump walked down the escalator. Some people say this could be the first day of him being a lame duck, the day that bill passes.
So let's go to this question of the whistleblower telling the House Judiciary Committee ranking member Jamie Raskin that Maxwell is getting concierge-style treatment at the minimum security prison camp she was transferred to after speaking with Trump's former personal lawyer, Todd Blanche, and that she has appealed for a commutation. The whistleblower saying inside the prison camp, they're saying she won't be there for long, this possibility of commutation or pardoning, and how she's being dealt with, even at this minimum security prison, differently from the others who were there.
First of all, we need a constitutional amendment in this country to abolish the pardon power. It has been abused dramatically by Donald Trump, by pardoning a crypto billionaire, a foreign crypto billionaire, by pardoning January 6th rioters, and now considering a commutation or pardon of Maxwell. And it was abused by President Biden in what he did with his family and a judge who took kickbacks while incarcerating kids. So this needs to be a consensus. But it is offensive what Trump is considering doing with Maxwell. The survivors who I've talked to go in detail about how Maxwell was part of the abuse and rape of underage girls. They are so horrified that someone who did this to them may be pardoned or commuted.
Congressmember O'Connor, we want to thank you for being with us from Capitol Hill, Democratic congressmember from California. Coming up, we speak to the public health and nutrition expert, author of The Painful Truth of Hunger in America. Stay with us.
And life will flow as long as the grass grows and the water runs. And while I'm here on earth, I rejoice. And it's worth, 'cause freedom is free.
is Free by Chicano Batman, performing in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. We turned how the shutdowns brought attention to food insecurity and hunger in the United States. On Tuesday, the Supreme Court extended a short-term stay that allows the Trump administration to withhold full food assistance benefits under SNAP, the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, until Thursday at midnight, in anticipation of the end of the shutdown. SNAP helps nearly 42 million people to eat and also to feed their children each month. Delayed and partial payments have occurred despite the availability of contingency funds to keep the program funded during shutdown because the Trump administration chose not to use those funds and resisted a court order to do so. The USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture, the agency that runs the program, told states to deliver just 65% of benefits and claw back any payments beyond that. Some states have chosen to fully fund benefits in their states. The Supreme Court said withholding some funding is permissible while legal battles continue in lower courts. SNAP benefits break down to a maximum of about $10 a day per person. At St. Mary's Food Bank in Phoenix, patrons waited in line for 45 minutes to receive assistance. Many expressed frustration with President Trump. This is 11-year-old Sincere Miller, who is waiting with his grandmother.
Trump, why are you starving the kids? I'm hungry, and we have to get boxes from the food bank.
For more on SNAP and hunger, we're joined by Mariana Chilton, professor of practice in the Department of Nutrition, School of Public Health and Health Sciences at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, nationally recognized leader on child hunger in America, author of The Painful Truth About Hunger in America. She joins us from Sunderland, Massachusetts. We only have a few minutes, Professor Chilton. If you can explain what is happening now and what the Supreme Court decided and what exactly the Trump administration is doing in saying if states make up for what the federal government is not giving to hungry people, they now have to claw that money and support back from poor people.
That's an outrageous claim. What's been happening over the past weeks has been unconscionable. And in the past week, there have been four different judge assessments about what should be done with SNAP. All of this chaos and confusion was completely avoidable and is against the law. SNAP benefits are an entitlement, and the funds are there, especially in the case of a government shutdown. So all of this was avoidable. The Trump administration continues to break the law. The fact that there's a stay until Thursday night while Congress decides whether they want to come back to work or not is the fact that they're waiting, I can understand. They're trying to reduce the amount of confusion. 19 states, including Washington, D.C., have released full SNAP benefits to their constituents. Others have released some partial funds. It's hard to know quite what's happening. What is very clear that it's happening is that 42 million Americans, 16 million of them children, are really struggling to be able to have to afford nutritious food for their health and well-being and for good school performance. So it's deeply concerning. And what it shows is how precarious the American people truly are. Only 50% of people in the United States have savings enough to keep them to get them through hard times. That's why we're seeing government workers who are not getting paid, waiting in lines at the food bank. It's unconscionable and just so wrong on so many different levels.
Professor Chilton, are food stamps, is SNAP the new name for food stamps?
Yes, SNAP is the new name for food stamps. It means Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Lots of people continue to refer to it as food stamps because it is a beloved program. It used to be a bipartisan darling. That's why it's so surprising that the Republicans have been so absent in this entire dialogue and have been actively causing harm. It's very surprising. SNAP benefits is a way, or food stamps, as many people still call them, was a way to bring together rural communities, farming communities, with urban groups, people who really need access to that food. So it's quite surprising.